We waited 30 years.
The wait is over.
But this season...
What happens now?
Champions of baseball.
It's time to defend the crown. This is World Champion Dodger Talk.
It's yours, Los Angeles.
Breaking down the world champion LA Dodgers all season long.
So happy, man.
LA Dodgers baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito.
Seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navien tankless water heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Don't miss an episode and get all the podcasts on the iHeartRadio app. Now your host, LA's favorite Dodger insider.
The city's favorite son.
Here's David Vassar.
Chicago did not treat the Dodgers very well as they get swept in this three-game series at Wrigley Field. Tonight, the final score 6-5 in 11 innings. David Vassay with you until 10:30 here on Dodger Talk. We're taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570. Nick Coletti will check in at 10:15 from the Sportsnet LA studios. We'll get his thoughts on tonight's game and also where the Dodgers are at. Where are the Dodgers? Well, the Dodgers have lost 13 of their last 17. They have lost back-to-back games in extra innings. They've lost three games on this road trip in extra innings. On the season, they're 1-6 in extra innings, and right now their defense and their bullpen is letting them down. I know I mentioned the Corey Seager error in the eighth inning, which led to the Cubs tying the score. That obviously was a huge play, and I believe that's part of what Dave Roberts is alluding to without calling out a player. He's basically saying the Dodgers shouldn't even be in extra innings if it wasn't for some defensive lapses. And that is one that is the only one in this game tonight that you can think of. That was a horrible play. And like I mentioned on the Clubhouse show, I know I've been critical of Seager the last few games on this road trip for his defense. Now I'm starting to get a little concerned. This is something physical. We all know Corey Seager has had his share of injuries in his young career. Is he hurt again? I mean, you don't see him make spectacular plays, but you see him make the routine plays, and that certainly was a routine play in the eighth inning. And I'm not going to blame Gavin Lux for anything on that play, even if he didn't give Seager a better target on that throw. I mean, Corey Seager's the veteran here. He's been playing since September of 2015 in the big leagues. He makes that play, and that's a routine play for Corey Seager. If it's not him getting down on the ball, it's him short hopping Max Muncy at first base a couple of times tonight. It's the throw he made at second base. And also, the hitting's not there. He's hitting a .120 since he hit that go-ahead home run in the top of the 12th inning 2.5 weeks ago in San Diego. So I have learned over the course of my career, and I have told you this repeatedly, great players don't all of a sudden become bad players for no reason. And right now, Corey Seager is not looking like Corey Seager. He was 1-for-4 tonight. He did score a run, but he does not look like himself defensively. Now, if I could stay on the defensive side, you talk about defense. Nothing is more important than your defense up the middle. And the Dodgers had some key mistakes up the middle tonight with their shortstop in the eighth inning. We mentioned that. But also their catcher, Will Smith, in the 10th inning. When Kenley Jansen was facing Matt Duffy, there was a pass ball with Matt Duffy that set up Duffy being at third and Rizzo at second base. Before that, Will Smith didn't present two clear strikes to the umpire on the Anthony Rizzo at-bat. And then after that, they called it a wild pitch, but Will Smith should have stopped the ball that Kenley threw that put Duffy at third base and Rizzo at second base. I'll make it more clear that way. And it just frustrates the heck out of me because we grew up with really good defensive catchers here in Los Angeles, going all the way back to Roy Campanella, Johnny Roseboro, Jeff Torborg, Steve Yeager, Mike Socha, even Mike Piazza was a good receiver and a good blocking catcher. Paul Laduca, you could go through the lineage of Dodger catchers from the inception. No matter what generation Dodger fan you are, you know you've seen really exceptional defense behind the plate. And when you see something like that in the 10th inning, especially the receiving part, come on, you got to present the strikes. I'm not talking about stealing strikes. You got to present the strikes. You got to help your pitcher out. And you got to block the balls when it's extra innings, and now you just put two runners in scoring position. That is what's costing the Dodgers these one-run games. It's their defense, especially up the middle. Their defense is completely killing them in these close games. And their bullpen, some of these relievers that are coming into the game, you heard Rick Monday talk about it. What's the thought process between Will Smith and the relief pitcher on the mound? Garrett Clevenger had his slider working tonight. Why would he throw a fastball to anybody? Just continue to throw it until they can hit it. Hitters today can't hit it. They can hit fastballs. So just complete mental and physical mistakes are costing the Dodgers in these one-run games. They are 4-9 in one-run games. That it's not just the offense, folks. It's a lot more than that. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Craig in Carlsbad. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. What's up, Craig?
So, David, good analysis of tonight's game. My question is, why does Kenley Jansen continue to get a free pass on this show? We can talk about the problems of Seager, Betts, Smith, but how long has it been that we have a something porous out on the mound late in the game? It just happens over and over. The worst thing any relief pitcher can do is walk the leadoff batter. This happens continuously, night after night, and there's the problem.
Yeah, he's very unpredictable, Craig. I have said that before, and you're right. Three walks in that inning, one intentional. You can't walk the leadoff hitter, especially when there's a runner at second base. But nonetheless, I mean, you got to get some help from your defense, don't you, Craig?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's several components to a great ball club. I think they're all there for the Dodgers. Obviously, the starting pitching is probably the best at the moment. But what we fans continue to see is games given up in the late innings. It happened again tonight, and that didn't even get brought up on this show. I mean,
sure
it happened
did.
Over and over.
Sure did. I mentioned the bullpen. Kenley Jansen is part of the bullpen. And by the way, Craig, a fly ball to right field by Jock Peterson, if those two runners aren't in scoring position, there's nothing made of anything. You know, that pass ball that was called a wild pitch set up those runners in scoring position to tag up from third base. That set up Matt Duffy to tag up from third base.
No question, there were defensive lapses tonight, too many. We can agree on that very well. But, I mean, you know, what Trinan did last night, the so-called magic inning, which was incredible. The bullpen can be very good, but there's one part of it that's consistently not good anymore. There came a point in time a few years ago when Kenley Jansen started to get hit. And he'd been lights out before. And
Craig, are you really going to pin this loss solely on Kenley Jansen? I agree he was not wise in executing his pitches to walk the leadoff hitter. I completely agree with you, but I feel like everybody is a little short-sighted if you're just going to pin this loss on one guy.
I'm not doing that. I'm agreeing with you. There were defensive lapses, and the Dodgers aren't hitting, but on what I heard of your show tonight, the name Kenley Jansen didn't come up once before I got on the line.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that big of a – I didn't feel like he was a pivotal factor in the game tonight.
Oh, but he was. He was a big pivotal factor. He walked the leadoff batter. That batter came home. That was just as much a problem as Seager's
And then
error.
He got an inning-ending double play after he got put in a – the team got put in a position. It's not Kenley's game. It's the team's game, Craig. And I appreciate the phone call. I agree with you. Kenley Jansen is not the lights-out closer that is going to strike out the side in order. He could be on certain nights, but he's not like that every night. He's too unpredictable. I am with you guys. He is too unpredictable to be a championship closer. There is no doubt about it. But right now, the Dodgers have bigger issues than just one relief pitcher in Kenley Jansen. He's barely pitched on this road trip, by the way. So, you know, the defense, in my opinion, was just as disappointing as Kenley walking the leadoff hitter tonight. Let's go out to Desmond in Sherman Oaks. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Desmond.
Hey Vasse. Thanks for taking the call. I'll be quick. I have one question that might be a little bit dumb, but we're all average people out here listening. And another.
Hey, statement. Me too. I'm not that smart.
So do we have a catching coach? And I'm asking that because I looked at the StatCast data pretty frequently, like everybody else pretends to. We have given up 42 stolen bases and I think thrown out only three or four runners. And then the gap between us and the next team, who's the Angels, and if we're comping ourselves to the Angels, it's going to be a long year behind the plate. We've given up 17 more stolen bases than the next closest team, and like the Phillies have only given up 7, and we've given up 42. So wondering if Friedman or if there's been a change in heart this year about even paying attention to runners, and I'm noticing the reason why I ask is these guys come home. Every single time they go from first to second, and it's like a lot of the guys are lefties. Today, I forgot who it was that was pitching lefty.
Victor Gonzalez gave up a stolen base tonight.
Correct.
I'm with you, Desmond, and it's not on the catchers. It's actually on the pitching staff. They have to do a better job of being quicker to the plate and also, you know, paying attention to those runners. So it's really not on all the Dodgers catchers. It's not on the catchers solely. It's kind of on the pitchers.
And then, yeah, and I agree. That's why I was just wondering if there's been just like a strategy change with the team. But then going forward, you've been so on with Seager. Not on him, but you've been correct. And him being a Boris client, do you think something is going on where Boris is saying, don't do anything that could potentially get yourself injured where you're going to diminish value? Not to say that what he's doing right now isn't doing it for himself, but I think a player who has a bad season versus a guy who's always injured has a little bit more value. I mean, I don't know if you have thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know, I would hope Corey has more integrity than that. I've known him since he was in the minor leagues, and I would like to believe that he does and wouldn't get influenced by an agent to do something like that. So I'm not going to indict him on that, Desmond. I'd like to think more of him than that.
Appreciate it. Thanks, David.
All right, no problem. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Danny in L.A. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Danny.
Hey, David, thank you for taking my call. I know we're always harping on Kenley. It's not even about that, like you said, the team. But my thing is this. We keep talking about Seager. Yes, we do. But you know what? I don't know what's going on with him this year. Not just his hitting, but
hey, Danny, let me ask you something. Why hasn't anybody called about Mookie Betts? He's the highest-paid player on the team, and he's 0-for-6 tonight. He leaves 5 men on base. He had 3 strikeouts. He's hitting .248. He's the guy that makes this offense go, and nobody seems to care about that.
No, the reason is because we're focusing on those plays, you know, that we could take over and win this game. You know, the Seager, not just Seager this time, but Seager prior to the other couple of times.
In Milwaukee, Seager in Milwaukee, Seager in L.A., yeah, Seager in San Diego, yes. Yeah, I know. It's troubling, and that's why I wonder if he's hurt.
Yeah, my last question to you is this. Why not in those extra innings take out Will Smith and put in Barnes? He's a better defender anyway.
Yeah, they had already burned Keibert Ruiz as a pinch hitter, so they were down to their last catcher. So you're starting to get into a dicey situation when you empty your bench and you don't have any more catchers. But while this period of time is happening where they do have 3 catchers, that might not be a bad idea, Danny. Thanks for the phone call. 866-987-2570. Dodgers fall to the Cubs tonight 6-5 in 11 innings. And I brought up that sacrifice fly by Jock Peterson in the 10th inning. How badly did he want that to be a home run? How badly did he want it to be a home run? He thought he had a home run. And I guess he's trending on Twitter right now. I don't think he's trended on Twitter since he hit 3 home runs in the 2017 World Series. A little embarrassing, but it is another Jock-type moment. We love Jock Peterson, and those are the type of moments that kept his teammates loose. Luckily, it was caught, and his team tied the score thanks to a pass ball by Will Smith that put 2 runners in scoring position for Jock to have that opportunity. Look, I'm not. I don't know why there's a perception that I defend Kenley Jansen. I have made this very clear that he is very unpredictable as a reliever. I'm not on board with all of you that think they should just get rid of him. He still has a role, and considering how thin the Dodger bullpen is right now, you just want to get rid of another relief pitcher? Honestly, Kenley and Trinan are the two most established guys in this bullpen right now, and I didn't feel like tonight Kenley Jansen cost the Dodgers the game. He did have a part in it. It's like we talk about, it's a team win, it's a team loss. He did have a part in it in the 10th inning by walking the leadoff hitter, but his defense let him down. His catcher let him down in more ways than one tonight. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Jeff in Temple City. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, you know, you guys are like, I mean, come on, man. It's May. Okay, if they're having a slump in September, I'd worry about it. But right now, okay, they're having a slump. They're going to be back. I'm not worried about it. Mike Piazza got traded by the Dodgers. He was a hell of a catcher and a hitter, and he ended up being a Met, and he went in as a Met. So, you know, as of catchers, he was one of the best. The other thing I want to talk about is I know May went out as a pitcher, okay? Is David Price ever going to come into the rotation?
No. Dave Roberts said he's going to keep him as a pitcher. He's still coming back from a hamstring injury, and when he does come back, he'll be in the bullpen. Tony Gonsolin, the Dodgers are trying to get him back up to speed to be a starting pitcher. When he does return, he will more than likely take the spot of Dustin May in the rotation, which is not too bad. A lot of teams would love to have a guy like Tony Gonsolin step in with an injury, but he's coming back from a shoulder issue that occurred in the Freeway Series before the regular season started, so it is going to take 3 to 4 weeks to get Gonsolin going. And Jeff, you know, one point that you made is right. The Dodgers have been in slumps before. As recently as 2018, the year the Dodgers went to the World Series for the second straight year and won 92 games in the NL West, they were 16-26 on May 16th that year. They were able to get above 500 on June 10th and never looked back and were able to beat the Rockies in game 163. The National League was not very talented then, and it's not very talented now. So the Dodgers are in a way better spot record-wise than that 2018 team is. But I just feel like I can't ignore the frustrations of all of us watching this very talented team throw games away literally on certain nights. And right now that's the frustration of fans, and I don't believe it's going to last. I feel like the Dodgers could come out of this any game. I feel like Friday they could come out of this slump. It's not going to last the whole season. If it does, I will be the most shocked person in this city if this Dodger team continues to play this way. I just don't believe it'll happen. 8-6, especially with the rotation they have. 866-987-2570. We're going to take a timeout here on Dodger Talk. We got a full board of calls. We'll get to you. Ned Coletti, though, will join us next right here on AM 570 LA Sports.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Be anywhere, at any time, and you can hear past episodes of Dodger Talk.
All of those things.
Search AM 570 on the iHeartRadio app.
We're streaming online.
We stream every game, too.
Come find me.
Back to Dodger Talk on AM 570 LA Sports.
Disappointing road trip so far for the Dodgers as they drop another one in extra innings. 6-5 tonight in Chicago. In 11 innings, as the Cubs sweep the Dodgers at Wrigley Field, the Dodgers are 1-6 on this road trip, 1-6 in extra innings. They have lost three extra inning games on this road trip alone. So they are looking forward to a day off tomorrow before they regroup for a three-game series in Anaheim against the Angels. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We'll get back to the phone calls in just a moment. But first, we want to check in with former Dodger GM, now Sportsnet LA analyst, Ned Coletti. Hi, Ned.
Hey there, David.
Hey, Ned, where are the Dodgers right now? They've lost 13 of their last 17. They have been in these stretches before over the course of the last 8 years. But do you feel like there is one thing that is more problematic than anything else right now that can be corrected?
Well, I think there's probably two things at least. I think, you know, the defense, I thought defense today was a little bit of letting the club down. Corey on their play at second base, you know, made a great play to catch it, but couldn't finish the playoff. Threw the ball in the right field, and then the pitch, Will Smith, you've got to block that pitch. I think defense has been an issue of late, and I think obviously the clutch hitting and the hitting in general. I think when you struggle offensively, you've got to really be excellent defensively. You cannot be given extra outs. You cannot be given an extra 90 feet. It makes it just all that much tougher to do. I think the starting pitching, you got 32 games on the books. But there's maybe two or three where they didn't give their team a chance to win. So the starting pitching has been outstanding. And the bullpen hasn't been bad. I think the loss of Knebel's big. But I think your defense has got to be pretty much really perfect when you get an offense that struggles for a minute.
I got to focus on Corey Seager, Ned. You know him really well, obviously. You know, I've learned that great players don't just become average or bad players overnight. But he doesn't look like he did in spring training or the first 2 weeks of the season, defensively or offensively. Do you feel like there's anything physical going on that he's playing through?
You know, there always could be. I mean, he's somebody that he doesn't want to sit. He doesn't want to not play. And I wonder if he is 100%. You know, we've seen throwing from time to time has been off. I think also, you know, I wonder if Mookie is completely healthy as well. Yeah. And I think, you know, you have star type players that feel responsible to so many different factions, including themselves, but I think that sometimes guys will play and try to play through something, figuring that they can get there and they can do it. I don't know if either player is hurt. I don't know if either player is struggling with a physical situation that they're trying to get through. But, you know, the at-bats by Mookie, uncharacteristic of what we've been able to see for a little bit more than a year now. And really the defense of Corey has been a little bit shaky from time to time. And you're talking about, you know, he's not Ozzie Smith. He's not somebody that's going to be acrobatic or really super athletic at that position. But he's solid at playing it typically. But you've seen a little bit of a fallback, especially with the throwing of it.
All right, Ned, let's talk about one specific play in this game tonight that I hate the rule. I hate the Buster Posey rule. And I feel like tonight, if you're going to have that rule, you better enforce it. It felt like Wilson Contreras was basically camping out on top of home plate even before he received the ball to tag out Justin Turner on that double by Max Muncy in the 10th inning. What did you see back there in the studio, and did you feel like he gave Turner a path to tag the plate?
I think he gave him a path as JT rounded third, but as you say, you've got to have the ball in order to block the path. I thought he blocked the path a second prematurely before he had the ball. And you know, I understand the rule to protect the catcher from having what happened to Buster Posey. But the rule to me is such a discretionary call. It's such a gray area. I don't know that it fits. I don't know that it fits in a sport that happens fast. And you know, you've got to have as you read the rule and you think through what we watch. It's step by step. The catcher's got to be in a position not blocking the plate. Then when he catches the ball, then he can go and he can block that lane. You know, you're talking, and the runner has got to figure out, do I have a shot at finding the plate, or when do I do this? You know, these are not slow motion situations. These are bang bang plays, and sure, you got to replay. You know, I don't know that the rule really works. Does it protect catches? Yeah, it does protect catches. But at the same time, a catcher can protect himself, too, and get out of the way, or sweep tag, or in the position of Contreras. You know, he was blocking the plate, so he was in the middle of it, too. So I just don't know that in the heat of the moment with what happened to Buster Posey against the Marlins years ago, I get it. But I don't know that it fits. I don't know that it's doing what it's supposed to do. I think it's confusing. I think as a runner, you're trying to figure out if I'm going to get a lane or not. You don't have time to figure that out. You've got to try and figure out how to score the run. And the catcher, you know, do I have the ball right now? This guy's coming in here. If I can just block it a little bit, you know, maybe he's got part of the lane. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe it's going to be a judgment call. You know, I don't think the game was meant to be played like that.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ned. I thought it was an overreaction to a catcher that was out of position. Kind of like what happened at second base with Chase Utley. But, you know, these are the times that we're living in.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
All right, Ned.
Catchers can get out of the way, too.
Yeah, exactly. Both players, Buster Posey and the Mets middle infielder, were both out of position. And that's why they got hurt as badly as they did. I think we can agree on that, right?
There's other ways of doing it, you know. Leave it to the catcher to get in the way or out of the way, you know, and the base runner's got to figure out how to get the home plate.
I'm with you, Ned. We'll check in with you over the weekend in Anaheim. Hopefully the Dodgers can snap out of this.
Time's on the Dodgers' side. They're going to be okay.
Okay, I like that. I'm with you, Ned. I like that. Thank you so much. There he goes. Ned Coletti from the Sportsnet LA studios. 866-987-2570. And speaking of that rule that we were talking about, Ned's 100% right. You know, when that rule was instituted, I remember guys that played the game were telling me that, you know what? Yeah, it might protect the catchers from being knocked over, but you know who's going to be put in a precarious position? It's the base runner. And that's exactly what happened tonight with Justin Turner. He almost hurt his hand trying to tag home plate. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Santa Monica. Justin, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm more of a, let's look at the glass a little half full. I mean, with everything we're going through, we're only one and a half back. Okay, so there's that. And just we're gluttoned with a ton of injuries. And I know people have talked about bringing up Josiah Gray, and I'd even go a little bit deeper about possibly even taking Michael Bush and giving him a look with that bat, and he's a second baseman, and maybe keeping Ruiz behind the plate if Will Smith is struggling like you're saying he is. And I agree with that. There's a lot of defensive miscues. Give him a shot behind the plate. Like, we got some options to fill in until all of these injuries sort of heal. I think we have opportunities. And again, Mookie at 0-6, he's got to do more there. And I look at him like a Kobe, like he's a spark on our team. Mm-hmm. He's the leader. And when you see him up there going through this, that frustration is wearing. I think it trickles through the team. Like Trevor Bauer is the only one I see has fire out there. And I think that's what you need to get through a slump like this. Thanks.
I'm with you, Justin. Thanks for the phone call. And Mookie feels that. Trust me, he does. And that's why he went to the Dodgers and said, hey, I should be leading off last year. And once he did that, you know, he was able to do his thing and be the point guard, as he says, for the offense. It just hasn't happened for him yet this year. As far as Josiah Gray goes, well, he's not on the 40-man roster. Neither is Michael Bush. The minor league season is just starting. Josiah is going to be the opening day pitcher for the Oklahoma City Dodgers tomorrow night. So I don't see him making a start Saturday in Anaheim. And whether or not he makes a spot start here or there before Tony Gonsolin's healthy still remains to be seen. From what I understand, he's not a finished product, so the Dodgers are trying to develop him still, especially with no minor league season last year. I think there's a chance Michael Bush and Cody Hosey, you could possibly see them in September this year, but I don't believe you'll see them before. Let's go out to Chino. Steve, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. You're our final caller of the night. Steve, what's up?
Hey, Dave, thanks for taking my call. I thought you made some great points on what's contributing to the Dodgers' struggles this year, and I agree with a lot of the callers. It is still early. I want to get your take on the analytics and the defensive shift that the Dodgers seem to employ mm-hmm. game after game. In watching the Dodgers this year, it seems like that shift has cost us some key outs in key situations, and it really has contributed to some of the losses. I remember a game in San Diego where Justin's playing way off the line, and you know somebody hits a ball, just like a routine grounder to him, possibly a double play ball. Tonight, I thought, you know, seeing Seager playing right of second base, if he's playing it, you know, normal short, you know, that's an out. So I just want to get your take on that. It just seems like the Dodgers overemploy that shift to their detriment at times.
Yeah, they do employ the shift more than any other team in baseball, but I can't criticize it, Steve, because I've seen it work so well, and I don't feel like they overshift. And I don't like the word shift with them. I feel like they really position their infielders really well over the last 3 or 4 years, and it's hard for me to criticize it. But I will say this, I feel like the shifts, they really do balance out. Base hits that normally wouldn't be base hits get through. Base hits that would have been stopped are stopped. So I feel like it's basically a one-to-one, but they must have some advanced analytics or data that shows that it does make sense and it does help you out. But I don't agree with just giving. I'm not against the shift when nobody's on base, but I am against just giving up second base with less than two outs, because all of a sudden you have a guy in scoring position, a wild pitch, a pass ball, things go sideways. So that's how I feel about it.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, Steve, thanks a lot for the phone call. Mike, Dave, Steve, I'm sorry we couldn't get to you tonight. Try back on Friday night after the Angel game. I will get you on the air, and you guys could voice your opinion or send your questions to me on Friday night after the game. Hey, by the way, Dodger fans, tomorrow's an off day, but I have some great Dodger content for you you don't want to miss. Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, I'll be on AM570 LA Sports IG Live with Justin Turner at 5 o'clock. So we'll talk to Justin. You could send your questions in. I'll see them. I'll try to ask him some questions that you may have. 5 o'clock with Justin Turner on AM570 LA Sports IG Live. Brought to you by who else? My friends at Navient Tankless Water Heaters. Also, Episode 6 of Extra Innings presented by Corona, the podcast, has dropped this afternoon. Andre Ethier talked about being ejected in Milwaukee back in 2013. Also, Joe Torre, the Hall of Fame manager, joined us as well on this episode. So you can find all of that on the iHeartRadio app, and you can find all the Dodger talks there as well. Thanks to Colin Yee, thanks to Dwayne McDonald, and thanks to you for listening. Once again, the final score at Wrigley Field. The Dodgers fall to the Cubs in 11 innings, 6-5. Have a great night. We'll talk to you from Anaheim on Friday. See ya.